later. And this doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but it kind of goes along with what I was talking about this morning in Sunday school with our teenagers. We were going into Genesis chapter 4, and we were talking about the sacrifices that Cain and Abel brought into the Lord. And as we all know, Cain's sacrifice was subpar. It wasn't what God had requested from him, and Abel had brought the right sacrifice. So when I was talking to the kids, I was asking them, what kind of sacrifice are we personally bringing to God? Are we bringing him just the scraps of our life? Are we bringing him just what we find satisfactory? Or are we giving ourselves over to him? Are we giving him the best of our life? Or are we just kind of picking out what we think is going to appease him? And then this morning on one of the songs, it was talking about, it said that there's pain in the offering. And it made me think more about what I had talked about this morning, about how making sacrifice isn't easy, right? Whenever we make a sacrifice to God, whenever we give him our life, it's probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable. It's probably going to be not maybe fun all the time. We're probably going to be squirming around a little bit. Whenever an animal gets sacrificed, if the animal has any idea what's going on, it's probably not like, yeah, yay, yay, about to get my throat cut. No, I don't think that's what the animal is thinking, okay? And if you think about the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we know that the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. We know that he was in anguish, that he ultimately, he said, hey, if this cup can pass from me, let that happen. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But we know that the sacrifice, he wasn't too comfortable with it, yet he still was able to do that. So if we think about the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I, so that we could have an eternal home in heaven, we think about how he was beat, how he had his beard ripped out, how he was spit upon, how he was embarrassed, how they went and just shamed him, how they treated him horribly. Yet he still made that sacrifice for people that would reject him. He made that sacrifice for the worst of sinners that we would consider the worst. He made that sacrifice even for people who we would say, well, they're pretty good. He made that sacrifice for each and every person. So I think the least that we could do as believers is make the sacrifice to give him our lives, to make sure that we're not just giving him the scraps, to make sure that we're not looking and saying, well, Lord, I gave you a little bit over here, I gave you a little bit over there, but that we're giving to him over abundantly, that we're making sure that he has all of us, because that's the least that we could do, that's the least that we could offer to him. So that's just something to think about this week as you're just going throughout your week and stuff, and as we think about how Jesus gave his life, is that he gave that ultimate sacrifice, ultimately, so that way we could sacrifice ourselves back to him. So let's go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And then once you make it over there, we'll start in verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." So what I want to talk to you about today is faith in the storm. Faith in the storm. We see there that the disciples had boarded a ship. Jesus had sent them out. They boarded the ship, and that a storm arose. And we all probably know the story about Peter walking on the water, but we're going to talk about faith in the storm. Have you ever been in any storms in your life? Have you ever had any troubles, any trials, tribulations, things that you've gone through that maybe you didn't completely understand why those things were happening? Have you ever gone through things and you thought, Lord, I'm trying to do my best, but it just seems like everything's hitting me so hard? Or have you ever been in a spot in your life where you know maybe you weren't doing everything you could be doing, and you're thinking, man, why am I facing all these storms? I'll tell you a couple quick stories real quick. I remember I was probably like 10, 11, 12 years old. And my family, we were going to a Dallas Mavericks basketball game, okay? And I remember this memory very vividly. I remember we hopped in the car and there were tornadoes that were heading our direction. So we're driving to downtown Dallas to go to the game, and my mom is like, should we really be doing this? I mean, should we really be driving to a basketball game in the middle of a storm? So the tornado sirens are going off. We head down that way, okay? And I remember I hopped out of the car, and we were trying to run inside the building, and on the way in, a big piece of hail hit me in my head, okay? I thought it was lightning. My family still makes fun of me to this day because I jumped up and started screaming like a little girl. But what happened was we were in the middle of a storm, right? We couldn't control the things that were going on around us. We could just control the decisions that we made in that storm, and we probably shouldn't have gone. But it still turned out to be fun, even though it scared me like crazy. But we're going to go through storms in our life. I remember another time, I was probably 18 at this time, and I was driving from the church I grew up in, and this big storm came blowing through. And I remember there was these straight line winds, and they were like 60, 70 miles an hour. Well, after I left the church, probably 2 minutes later, the power lines are kind of like leaning sideways. The transformers are busting everywhere. So I remember I pulled into a Walgreens parking lot, and I got out, and I was like, man, I better get inside because I'm about to die or something. So I go inside, and on my way in, I see this lady who's also running, and the winds literally picked her up and threw her like 5 feet. I'm not even joking. It was crazy. And I remember looking at her, and I should have probably helped, but I ran inside. And I'm not proud of that, but I ran inside the Walgreens, okay? And why? Because I was in the middle of a storm. I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I remember calling my family after and like, man, this was just a crazy experience. Those things stuck with me in my mind. But in our lives, we're going to go through storms. Not like that, not physically, but we're going to go through things that we don't understand. We're going to go through spiritual trials that we look at and we say, man, God, I don't know why this is happening to myself. I don't know why this is happening to my family. Sometimes we're going to have some trials with our health. And we're going to look and say, man, I don't know why I'm having to endure this storm right now. But the key to this is that we have to have faith while we're in the storm. There's three typical storms that we're going to go through. Okay, let's go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and then once you make it over there, we'll start in verse 36. Mark 4, and starting in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the first storm that we see here is one that is stilled at once by Jesus' voice. Sometimes we're going to go through storms, and God's going to calm them down for us. We're going to go into a situation in our life, and God's going to step in immediately and say, Hey, let me take care of it. We see that he was in the boat with the disciples, and he was asleep. He didn't have any cares. He didn't have any worries. The disciples came running down, upset about the storm that was happening. And just like that, Jesus calmed that storm for him. Sometimes we're going to have those things. And isn't it great whenever Jesus steps in immediately and just takes care of what the issue is? Whenever he steps right in and says, okay, hold on, peace be still. And he steps in and he takes care and he calms that storm that we're going through. That is one of the typical storms that we might go through in our life. The second type of storm that sometimes we go through is a storm that Jonah went through. Jonah was running from God. Jonah was trying to evade what God's will was for him. And ultimately, God had to give him a little storm to get his attention again. God had to send a storm his way in order to regain his focus. And sometimes we go through storms in our lives and we look and we say, I don't know why this is going on. But sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes God has to get our attention. Just like whenever we went to that basketball game, we put ourselves in the middle of that storm. We could have stayed home. We could have avoided that, but we hopped right in it. And sometimes we place ourselves into these storms in our lives. And then the third type of storm that we sometimes go through is one that doesn't cease. Let's go to Acts chapter 27 real quick. Acts chapter 27, and we'll start in verse 13. Acts 27, verse 13. Let me get over there. There we go. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and were so driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be given, that shall be even as it was told me. So we see here that the Apostle Paul was going through a physical storm. They were in a boat, and an angel came to him and told him, hey, it's all going to be all right. You're going to have to keep enduring. If you keep reading, the storm kept going. The storm kept happening, but God told him everything's going to be fine. And that's the third type of storm sometime that we're going to face, that we're going through it, and God's going to say, hey, it's going to keep lasting for a while. You're going to be in this situation for a little bit, but guess what? I can give you my peace. I can give you my comfort. I can give you my shelter, and I'm going to see you through this storm. Just keep riding along for a little bit. Just keep going along. And sometimes we'll get into that spot in our life. So we'll see here that sometimes God will just step right in and calm our storm. Sometimes we put ourselves into these storms like Jonah did. And then thirdly, we see here that sometimes we're in a storm, and God's not going to make it stop immediately, but he's going to give us that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that's going to keep us throughout that storm. So maybe you're at one of those points in your life right now. Maybe you look and you say, I feel like I'm going through one of these three things. Well, we're going to take a look here at a few more points and see how God is going to give us that faith in the storm. We're going to see how we can handle those things that happen in our life. Different storms that we might face, okay? The storm of sorrow. Have you ever been sorrowful? Have you ever been sad? Have you ever had to endure things? I was looking at this Bible earlier, and this Bible was given to me by Sandy Hilton after her husband John passed away. And then thinking about how Sandy Hilton just passed away last December, and we get sorrowful, right? Whenever loved ones pass, whenever people that we care about pass away, we face sorrow in life. The storm of sickness. Sometimes we become ill. Sometimes we have ailments. Sometimes loved ones in our life become sick. And we look and we say, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know how I'm going to face these storms. The storm of persecution. Sometimes as Christians, we can be persecuted, not to the extent here in America, as we've seen in Scripture and other countries, but sometimes we can be persecuted in our lives. And then the storm of heartache. Sometimes our hearts will ache, just like the storm of sorrow. So there's these different storms that we're going to face. We're all going to face different storms at different times, but God gives us ways to handle it, and that's why it's so important for us to maintain our faith while we go throughout these storms, okay? So the first thing that we're going to look at here is that, let's go to verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to kind of break this passage down really quick. Matthew chapter 14. So the first thing that we see here is that sometimes Jesus will send you into the storm. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So we see there that Jesus sent his disciples into that storm. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to be able to teach them and show them through this storm, and he let them go right on into it. And sometimes Jesus is going to let us go straight into storms. Sometimes he might send us that way because he wants to see what we're made of. Sometimes he'll let us go through those storms and see, will they cling to me? Will they remain close to me? And we see that Jesus did the same exact thing with his disciples. He wasn't caught by surprise whenever the storm happened. Jesus already knew everything that was going to take place. He knows past, present, and future. He knew what was going to happen, so he wasn't caught by surprise. And we see here that even though they went through that storm, and we'll take a look at this in a minute, that they were taught a lesson by it, that they were able to figure out different things. We know that Peter walked on the water. We know that other people were able to see that they're the other disciples and to increase their faith. So are we maintaining our faith whenever we go through those storms? Whenever Jesus sends us into the storm, do we immediately look at him and start to question? Do we immediately look at him and start to say, God, why am I here? Why are you letting me go through this? And that's easy to do because we're human. It's easy for us to immediately, whenever things don't go the way that we planned or expected, to immediately start to kind of freak out, to immediately start to question things and wonder, well, why? But we know ultimately that God's in control. We know ultimately that he knows the way that our ship is going to go. He knows the way that we're going to go in life. And he ultimately wants the best for us. So sometimes Jesus will send us into the storm, okay? We see also Job. We won't turn over there. But we know that Job was allowed by God. He allowed Satan to have his way in his life. He said, hey, you can't kill Job. Do whatever else you want. We know Job's children died. We know that he lost his flocks, his houses, his land, all that stuff. Job was tormented. He had the boils, the sores on his body. He was tormented. Why? Because God allowed him to go through that. Not because he hated Job. Not because he was mad at Job. Nothing like that. But because he wanted to show Satan, and I'm sure everyone else there, look how strong Job's faith is in me. Look how much faith Job has placed in his God. And we should be able to have that same testimony that Job had. And that's a hard thing. If something was to happen in our lives and we lost every single thing, would we have that same mindset? I don't know. That would be a very, very hard thing to have to go through. But ultimately, we should try to have faith that Job had. Job knew that, hey, I serve a God that loves me. I serve a God that cares for me. I serve a God that knows everything that's going to happen, and he knows what is best for me. And we have to remember that, and that will be one thing that will help us keep faith in the storm, is looking and saying, hey, I know that Jesus has allowed me to enter this storm, but he's going to see me through it, okay? So the second thing that we're going to look at here is that he will come to you in the storm. So first we see that Jesus will send you into the storm. Secondly, he will come to you in the storm. Verses 24 and 25 here in Matthew chapter 14. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So Jesus didn't just leave his disciples behind. He came to them in the midst of their storm. And he wants to do the same for you and I. Whenever we're going through a heartache, whenever we're going through a trouble, whatever we're dealing with in our life, Jesus wants to come alongside us there and walk us through that. He doesn't want to just leave us there hanging and not help us, not give us any assist. He wants to walk us through that trial. He is there for us. And we see here how he approached the disciples because he wanted to help them. He knew that they were going to be scared. He knew that they were going to be worried. He knew that they were going to fear. But Jesus wanted to step in and help them out. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. Just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 28. A very familiar passage of scripture here, okay? Verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And let's focus in on this part. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We know there that we have Jesus' word, that he says, hey, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Whenever we get into the middle of that storm and we start looking around and we don't see any other help, Jesus is there. whenever it seems like all of your hope is lost and you don't know what your next step is going to be, you don't know what your next decision is going to be, you don't know where to go, Jesus is there with us, and he can help us to navigate those trials. He can help us to get through those things. We just have to rely on him. We have to make sure that our faith isn't wavering. We have to make sure that our faith is completely and solid in him, because he'll guide us through that storm. He's not going to run away whenever times get tough. People will do that, right? People will come and go. People will leave whenever it's not convenient. People will betray us. Jesus will never do those things. When times get tough, Jesus is there. Whenever things are good, Jesus is there. No matter what's going on in our life, Jesus is going to be there with us. He's going to be there to guide us. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 real quick. Look at another verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So just another verse right there that shows that Jesus is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And sometimes the devil wants us to think, hey, where is God? Where's Jesus? You're going through this bad time. You're going through this tough time. He wouldn't allow you to have that. He wouldn't want this to happen to you. How is he a just God? You've been doing everything right. You've been making good decisions. You've been trying to do your best. But look, you're still struggling. The devil will try to put those thoughts in our mind. He'll try to trip us up using those things. But we have to remember that sometimes Jesus is going to send us into that storm. And then we have to remember that ultimately he's going to show up and come to us in the storm, okay? So let's go over back to Matthew 14 real quick to continue working our way through that passage, and then we'll move on to the next point. So first off, we see Jesus will send you into the storm. Secondly, we see that he will come to you in the storm. And then before we move on to the next point, I'm going to read something real quick. This thing is from Footprints in the Sand. I don't know how many of y'all have ever read that book or not. But it says, a man looked back over his life from eternity and noticed that on the mountaintops of life, there were two sets of footprints in the sand, and in the valley, one set. He said, Lord, why did you forsake me in the valley? The Lord said, I didn't. I was carrying you. So that is so true. The guy was up on the mountaintop and he looked down in the valley and he only saw one set of footprints when he had seen two the rest of the way. But Jesus said, hey, I didn't forsake you. I was carrying you. And how many times has Jesus carried us through life? I know he's carried me a lot of times, where he steps in and he helps us navigate those things that we don't understand, helps us navigate through the areas of life that are murky, helps us get through those tough times that we don't know how to navigate. And he wants to carry you. And sometimes we try to do things on our own. I'm bad about that, okay? I like to try to accomplish things by myself. And God just wants us to rely on him. He wants us to make sure that we're trusting him for everything, no matter what it is. And that whenever those storms come into our life, that we just put our full and complete faith and trust in him, that he'll pull us through those storms. It might not always be easy because we're human and we want to try to do things on our own, but it's going to be the best thing for us to just put our faith in him. So the third thing that we're going to look at here is he will teach you in the storm. So let's read verses 25 through 30 of Matthew chapter 14. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So Jesus will use our storms in life to teach us things. He will take those storms, those troubles that we've gone through, those bad times, and we can use those things as a learning moment. We can use those things to see how much he helped us. Maybe if we're in the situation of Jonah, it can teach us the stuff not to do. But if we're in the situation of how things happen to good people, we can look at it and say, hey, God saw me through this. God saw me through these times in my life where I was struggling. God saw me through these times in my life where I didn't know what to do. And we can use those things to help bolster us for the future. We can use those things so that way the next time that storm comes through, we look and say, you know what? I know God's got this. I know that he's going to take care of it, and he's going to see me through this storm. And we can use these things as a teaching moment. Jesus let Peter walk on the water long enough to shut Doubting Thomas up, and he let him sink soon enough to quench Peter's pride, okay? We know that Doubting Thomas, he doubted a lot of things. He didn't always, I guess, believe or have enough faith in certain instances, okay? And we know that Peter was a proud individual. Peter thought highly of himself. Peter was rough around the edges, but he's probably one of my favorite disciples. He's just a cool story. And God used this as a teaching moment. He showed Doubting Thomas, hey, look what I can do. I can have Peter walk on water. And then he was able to use Peter and show him, hey, I can use you, but I can use you, but at the same exact time, he knew that Peter was necessary, but Peter had a pride issue at sometimes, okay? And God can use those things to teach us. God can use the trials in our life to show us that, hey, you can, sorry. I'm trying to, like, get my mind straight. I was thinking about something else in the message. God can use these things to teach us certain things in life, okay? Being here for almost 5 years now, I remember things that I did when I first got here being a youth pastor, and I'm like, man, why did I do that? Why did I make that decision? Why did I have that activity? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? And 5 years looking forward now, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I made some dumb decisions at times, but God can use those things for the next 5 years. You know what I mean? And God can take things in our life that we look at and we say, well, that was a boneheaded mistake. That was dumb on my part. That was a situation that I shouldn't have been in, or whatever it is that we have in our lives. And he can use those storms to teach us some things. He can use those storms in our life as a teaching moment, but we have to be teachable people, right? We have to make sure that God can use those lessons in our life in order to teach us. We have to make sure that when those storms come through, that we allow him to use it as a teaching moment. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to look back and admit that we were wrong. Sometimes it's hard to look back and admit that we could have done things differently. But God can use those things as teaching moments and help us to build character and different things like that. I think about Daniel in the Bible. He went through so many troubles and trials that weren't warranted, yet God used those things to build character for Daniel. I think about Joseph. Went through so many things unwarranted that he shouldn't have gone through. But guess what? God used those things to turn him into second in command in all of Egypt. Why? Because he was able to take the bad storms in his life. He was able to take all the missteps and all those things that happened to him and use them for good. So we can have the same story as Daniel. We can have the same story as Joseph. We're going to go through troubles and trials just like them. But God can use those things in our life to help us to get to the next level. He can use those things in our life to help us to continue to grow, and he can use those things to draw us closer to him. And that's ultimately what he wants to use those storms for. So the last thing that we're going to look at here is he will bring you through the storm. Verses 31 through 33 of Matthew chapter 14 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret." So we see there that they said, hey, truly you are the Son of God. That they believed on him, that they put their faith in him. And ultimately, Jesus will bring you through your storm. No matter what storm it is that you're going through, whether it's financial, whether it's something physical, whether it's something with your health, marriage, whatever that storm may be, kids, like anything, God can take that storm and bring you through it. He's not going to just let you sit there and be in that storm for the rest of your life. Sometimes it might feel like that. Sometimes it might feel like, man, this thing is never ending. I've been stuck in this situation for X amount of years. I've been stuck in this situation for however long. And we can get down about it. We can become sad about it. And God can still take those storms and teach us. He can still get us through that storm. And ultimately, the end goal is that God will get us through that storm, we'll have learned something from it, and then we'll be able to do greater things in the future. If you think about the disciples, this was very early on in their ministry whenever all this stuff happened. But then you think about how Peter went on to preach at Pentecost. You think about all the other disciples, how they went on to do crazy things, how they went on to fulfill the Great Commission for God, how they were able to turn the early church and the world, the Bible says, upside down, how they were able to go out and do all of that stuff. Why? They had to go through some storms in their life. They had to go through some tribulations. They had to go through some things that they didn't understand. They had to go through that process of being hardened by the storms. They had to go through that process of those trials and stuff like that. And just because you might be going through a storm doesn't mean that it's over. Just because you might be having trials in your life doesn't mean that God's done with you. Just because it seems like, well, where is he at? He's right there with you. Maybe he's carrying you. But we can't just throw away our Christian faith because we have trials. We can't just quit on God because we have bad things happen in our life. There's one person that I'm thinking of right now that I know personally, not here or anything, but down in Texas, and they had a miscarriage, which I'm sure Haley has never gone through that, but I know my mom has in the past, and I know that that's a very, very, very difficult thing. But for a while, she gave up her faith in God. She said, well, why would he allow this to happen to me? I wanted a baby. I wanted to enjoy those things in life. This is what I wanted, and I don't trust in him anymore. I don't believe in him. And just now, this has probably been about 12 years ago, just now she's starting to renew her faith back in God again. She's starting to get back into that. But that's a long storm, right? 12 years to go through something, to go fight that battle of, I don't know if I trust God anymore. But ultimately, God's bringing her back through that. She ended up having another kid after. And that kid for the last 12 years hasn't really been raised in a home with God. But now she's been asking, well, I need to put him in a good church. I need to do this with him for Christianity, things like that. Why? Because God's brought her through that storm. It was rough. It wasn't something that was fun. It wasn't something that she wanted to endure. But God can take any bad thing in our life and use it for good. God can take anything in our life that is a heartache, something in our life that we don't want to think about, something in our life that hurts us to the core, and he can use that thing to help us in our lives. I love Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God can take any situation, good or bad, and turn it into something great for us. We just have to trust him when those storms come. We just have to continue to have faith in him, okay? So we see the first thing was Jesus will send you into the storm. The second thing was he will come to you in the storm. The third thing was he will teach you in the storm. And then the fourth thing was he will bring you through the storm. So let's think about these things, church. We're all going to go through storms. No one's going to go throughout their life and avoid having a trouble in their life. No one's going to go through their life and be able to avoid having these storms. But if we can keep our faith and trust grounded in God, whenever those things do happen, we can navigate our way through it with him. It's not going to be something that we can do on our own. It's going to be something that we have to do with the Lord, okay? So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would just help each and every one of us, Lord, to think about these things. Help us to maintain faith in the storm, Father. Help us to realize that there are going to be some trials that we're going to have to face in our life, but help us to realize that you don't abandon us whenever those things happen. Help us to realize that you should be our closest friend, Lord, and that you can walk us through those things. Help us to rely on you in the storms and to keep our faith in you. In your name I pray, amen. And with that, you are dismissed. Thank you for coming out tonight.